Hi, everyone.
And thank you for tuning in to Conversations on a Tightrope. This is Atrevida, and today I have with me a new friend who will share stories with me on health, attitude, and the changes we can make in our lives toward a better life for us all. I want you to know we're at the most wonderful place transmitting this show today. We're at the Wave Farm in Accra. And it's very exciting. It's a very beautiful place. You must come down and tour it. Jo Ellen Hooper, who lives in Saugerties, New York, popped into Caro's HW Coffee Cafe and started a conversation with me that was so interesting and encouraging that I could not resist asking her to continue the conversation on my WGXC show. Jo Ellen wears many hats. One is that of a life coach. And she sees herself as a community educator. And that brings me to her other hat, improving health through wise eating habits. Jo Ellen says her parallel motto to the environmental activists is green from the inside out. She believes that saying you are what you eat and let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. After I have Jo Ellen introduce herself, we will discuss some audio bites I have taken from a documentary called Today's Modern Food that I found on YouTube that educates us on what is in beef, milk, bread, etc. And then Jo Ellen will give us all the great advice she can about finding solutions. So thank you, Jo Ellen, for being on WGXC's Conversation on a Tightrope with me, and tell our listeners your passion and experience in the field of health.
Well, thank you so much for having me here today, and it is gorgeous up here in Greene County. Yeah. And I do come from Saugerties, and we seem to be in a black hole for this station, but I'm going to get all my friends to listen live on the Internet. It's brilliant. And Atrevida was correct. I do have a passion for many things about wellness on many levels. And my background as a coach helps me help people transition. I like to say I'm a future trader. You trade the future you have for the future you want. And it has to begin from the inside out. And it begins from your mind and body. And they have to be done together. Some people work on their mind and forget that if your food is not up to snuff with where your personal development is, you're missing a key link. And medicine misses many of those links too. So what I'm passionate about is helping people transition to a healthier life, because someone took the time to help me do that 35 years ago, and I haven't looked back since. And when you find something that's delightful, we tend to share it. And that's what we're doing here today, sharing some news, some information to help other people who might be thinking about changing but haven't. And those of you who are already on the journey, listen in, because you might be able to help some other people who also need to make that transition.
That's for sure. What I'd like to do is this video that I found on YouTube, and anyone who listens to my program knows I love YouTube. This tells about different products sold to us, and it's the truth about our nation's food supply. So the first clip that I'm going to play will be about beef, corn fed in feedlots. And do we want corn-fed beef or grass-fed? So you decide after you listen to this very short clip.
From the Everyday Citizen website, the truth about corn-fed beef. Feeding corn to cattle is, simply put, unnatural. And yet most of the store-bought and restaurant-consumed beef in the U.S. is corn-fed. Apart from the corn problem, there's the issue of confined animal feeding operations, where cattle are raised in deplorable conditions, including being jammed together and standing in their own feces. A corn-fed beef is far less nutritious than grass-fed, which has higher levels of omega-3 fatty acids, vitamins A, C, D, and E, and is lower in saturated fat. Pastured cattle also produce far less pollutants than feedlot cattle, as their waste becomes fertilizer for new grass.
In recent years, cattle have begun spending more and more of their lives in feedlots.
They put on weight faster if you don't let them move. So total confinement, less space for movement. They eat continually, and you get them into the market, into the food chain. But cattle were not meant to be on a corn-fed diet. The ulcers in the stomachs don't take it well, and they start getting sick.
More acids produced, and the animal can get into trouble. Corn in this environment produces these acids. The pH drops, And then they succumb to a condition we call acidosis. And if it's not treated, the animal dies.
The corn fed to cattle is supplemented with low doses of antibiotics that help them combat acidosis. But antibiotics also help cattle survive the conditions of confinement.
The reason that it's done, it's economic.
If the American people wanted strictly grass-fed beef, we would produce grass-fed beef for them. But it's definitely more expensive. And one of the tenets in America is America wants and demands cheap food.
The rising price of corn has forced ranchers to look for ways to cut costs. For industrial-scale farmers, that means feeding cattle with cheaper recipes.
Corn silage, high-moisture corn, which is the yellow kernels you see, and then we feed some byproducts, potato chips, and a chocolate blend, which has some cocoa shells. You see some M&Ms with it.
Feeding cows a diet of fast food is just the beginning. Cows aren't naturally corn-eating animals. Cows naturally feed off of grass. Raising grass-fed cows for mass consumption is considered inefficient. For one thing, grass-fed cows take longer to reach market weight. They also require much larger parcels of land for grazing. But there are benefits to grass-fed beef. Studies show that grass-fed cattle are richer in vitamins and omega-3 fatty acids compared to conventionally raised beef. And there is no need for petroleum-based fertilizer to grow the corn feed.
On February 11, 2009, CBS News reported, "Link eyed between beef and cancer. Beef cattle are given growth hormones to make them fatter faster to save money." Now questions are being raised about one of the most widely used hormones, Zearalenone, a synthetic estrogen implanted in cattle. A series of tests done for the Pentagon show a possible link between breast cancer and Zearalenone.
Okay, so I said you decide. Oh, I don't know about anybody else, but I was amazed. I did not understand truly how, I've heard things, but this whole explanation, I don't even feel like buying a piece of meat in the supermarket.
You know, it's difficult every day when you make buying decisions on what you're putting on your family's table and in your mouth. And the truth is, if you don't know where it comes from, it's probably wise not to eat it. And so many people don't know where their food comes from or how it's manufactured. And when they do find out, there's always that choice of what can I afford and what does my body need. It's always a trade-off and a balancing act. But you can make choices. There is corn-fed beef. And I'll tell you, I eat it occasionally. I'm pretty much a plant-strong person. But occasionally I'll eat beef, but I make sure it's grass-fed because it tastes different. And 2 ounces of grass-fed beef tastes better than a 12-ounce corn-fed piece of beef.
Well, you know, I understand why people buy it because, like he said, it's cheaper. However, you shouldn't really have more than 3 ounces anyway. So if you go and buy an organic piece of meat that's been grass-fed, and it's expensive, if you cut it up in smaller portions and just get used to eating a small portion of that meat with all of your other plant-based, you know, vegetables and all this kind of stuff, you really will benefit from it in the long run. And so that would make it more affordable for people who can't afford it.
It is. And it's funny. I use an analogy, which isn't that healthy, but a really fine-grown piece of meat for people who are omnivores is like eating a fine, delicious truffle. You only want to eat one versus a manufactured candy bar, which never satiates you. And that's the trouble. Really good food that's full of nutrients will trigger a satiation switch, and you won't really want more. You may in your mind say, I want more, but your body is satisfied because it's fed and it's like, ooh, that was good. I don't want to eat more of that because it'll spoil the taste of this wonderful food versus, oh, I could eat another candy bar, another potato chip. So
you go on forever, right?
Good food satiates us.
That's right. Now, I'd like to play another clip, and this is on milk and bovine growth hormones. So why don't I play this one for you. It's only about 2 minutes.
What Fox Television told us was that we were just the people to be the investigators.
Do any stories you want. Ask tough questions and get answers.
One of the first stories that Jane came up with was the revelation that most of the milk in the state of Florida and throughout much of the country was adulterated with the effects of bovine growth hormone, the artificial hormone that farmers were injecting into their cows so that they would produce more milk.
With Monsanto, I didn't realize how effectively a corporation could work to get something on the marketplace. Of course, the FDA, let's not leave them out. They had to get the federal regulators convinced that this was a fine and safe product. The longest test they did for human toxicity was 90 days on 30 rats.
Ozilac is the single most tested new product in history.
The scientists within Health Canada looked very carefully at bovine growth hormone and came to very different conclusions than the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S. did. They saw serious potential human health problems, and they stood up in Canada and said, we're not going to approve this because we don't believe it's safe. Fax machine spit out a letter from this very high-priced lawyer in New York that Monsanto had hired.
And it said there will be dire consequences for Fox News if the story airs in Florida.
Called us upstairs to his office and he said, what would you say if I killed this beast? We said, well, look, let us show you the research that we have. To which he replies, I don't care about that. I said, you know, this is news. This is important. This is stuff people need to know. And he said, we just paid $3 billion for these television stations. We'll tell you what the news is. The news is what we say it is.
On December 7th, 2006, the Harvard University Gazette reported, hormones in milk can be dangerous. The article states, the milk we drink today is quite unlike the milk our ancestors were drinking, without apparent harm for 2,000 years. The milk we drink today may not be nature's perfect food. Butter, meat, eggs, milk, and cheese are implicated in higher rates of hormone-dependent cancers in general. Breast cancer has been linked particularly to consumption of milk and cheese.
All right. So, I tell you the truth, I haven't had, I don't drink much milk anymore. I drink mostly soy milk. And for a long time, I didn't think I'd get used to it. But now I just don't buy milk anymore. I just buy soy milk in my cereal and my coffee or teas. And of course, it's organic. And I'm glad in a way. I'm sure milk that's organic is wonderful, but it's expensive.
I guess I'm pretty outspoken about milk. I'm a butcher's daughter.
Mm.
And other parts of my family are dairy farmers. And I'm a woman who advocates, you know, eating very little meat and absolutely not drinking milk. Cow's milk was meant for cow's babies. Human milk is meant for human babies. I'm a human and I'm not a baby. And the truth is, the reason for this, there was a divine plan to this. You would breastfeed and then you'd be weaned. And the same nutrients that are in mother's milk exist in nature. And we used to eat the fruits and vegetables and nuts and berries and seeds in nature as we wean from the mother's milk. There is nothing that we gain from drinking milk. And there's so much we lose. You know, I have a very pejorative thing that I call milk to my friends who insist on eating it. And my husband's listening to this, so this is out to you, dear husband. I call it pus milk. Because mastitis is pus, and it's allowed to exist in our milk. And the statistic I have, and I'd like to say quote me, but I have to find the most recent, is that we allow a very high percentage of pus to exist in our milk in the United States. And I'm sorry, you know, I watched how dairy farms were before, and if a cow had mastitis, it wasn't milk. The milk wasn't sold. The barn would be cleaned out. It'd be disinfected before you ever used it again. That is not reality today. And the USDA and the FDA just seem to turn their backs, or because money is the pivotal thing. We have to keep our farmers working and producing. They cut corners, and unfortunately, we're the corner they're cutting.
Yeah, and it'll only be the people changing their habits to change that also. But now that my next favorite, which is what the one thing I'm always telling people, look at the ingredients on that juice. Look at the ingredients. I mean, high fructose corn syrup.
Oh my.
So this and what really infuriates me is there was a commercial not long ago, and it was in here, but I didn't put it in this clip, about, oh, it's it's the same thing, you know, as and it isn't. It isn't metabolized by our body. It isn't used the same as regular sugar. So let me play this 2-minute clip on high fructose corn syrup. Number three. There it is. Yes, here we go.
August 2nd, 2010, Reuters reported, cancer cells slurp up fructose, U.S. study finds. The article begins, pancreatic tumor cells use fructose to divide and proliferate. U.S. researchers said on Monday in a study that challenges the common wisdom that all sugars are the same. Tumor cells, fed both glucose and fructose, use the two sugars in two different ways, the team at the University of California, Los Angeles found. They said their finding, published in the journal Cancer Research, may help explain other studies that have linked fructose intake with pancreatic cancer, one of the deadliest cancer types. On January 28, 2009, the Washington Post reported, study finds high fructose corn syrup contains mercury. The article reports that almost half of tested samples of commercial high fructose corn syrup contained mercury, which was also found in nearly a third of 55 popular brand name food and beverage products where high fructose corn syrup is the first or second highest labeled ingredient, according to two new U.S. studies. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has the following to say about mercury exposure on their website. Mercury poses a health risk to everybody, but especially to young children and fetuses because they are still developing. Prolonged low-level exposure may cause learning disabilities by hurting the ability of children to think and read. Adults who have been exposed to high levels of mercury may experience trembling hands and numbness or tingling in their lips, tongues, fingers, and toes. Acute mercury poisoning, especially through ingestion, can damage the brain, liver, kidneys, and even cause death.
Now, can anyone, when we have these talk shows and I'm watching them, talking about, our education crisis and we're not teaching our children and blame the teachers. Well, hold it a second. There are many levels of things that we have to do to correct education. But this alone, our kids, they put ketchup on their hamburgers. It's very hard to find ketchup without high fructose corn syrup. They have soda all day long, high fructose corn syrup. The juices, and when they say natural, what really upsets me is I'll look at some of the brands that I grew up with that I thought was so great. There's high fructose corn syrup. So the food industry is beginning to kind of come around a little bit because now I see the breads. And about 10 years ago, I used to tell my friend, don't get this. It has high fructose corn syrup in it. And now I see that company having breads, no high fructose corn syrup.
You know, it came about because sugar was expensive years ago.
And, yes.
And we Americans are addicted to sugar. So when the tariffs went up, they looked for other sources and they went to the corn. But corn comes with all its own toxic problems and the processing. So this high fructose is a serious problem here in the States. But you know that many of these same companies do not include high fructose in their same products they sell in other countries because those countries do not allow it.
That's right. So how smart are we?
And you know, it's talk shows like this that talk to everyday people. You know, my husband has a not too politically correct statement. He says, give me one loudmouth housewife whose child's been endangered and I can change the world. And that's the truth.
That is.
It takes the voice of people every day to raise their voice to get policies changed. And what changed policy in other countries were people who cared enough to fight for it. And that's kind of why I come on shows like this and talk to people all the time, because I know if enough people talk, the groundswell makes changes, like we're seeing in many large corporations who are making a point of saying we're not including high fructose corn syrup. It's a good start.
Yes, but this documentary really, I only thought of high fructose corn syrup in terms of, because I was conscious of my weight, in terms of getting heavier. And now, to even know that it had mercury in it, what are we doing to our children?
We complain about the fish in the rivers being polluted by industry, but we forget to look at our own bread boxes.
That's right. Now, I'm going to go on to take a little break with a song. which is called Some Little Bug Is Going to Find You. It's the food song. It was written in 1915, and this is Phil Harris's 1946 version. And directly in succession, following that, we'll play the white bread and wheat bit, okay? So you can play those two things.
Now, in these days of indigestion, it oftentimes comes a question as what to eat and what to leave alone. Each microbe and bacillus all have a different way to kill us, and in time, they always claim us for their own. Now, there are germs of every kind in any food that you can find, either in the market or upon the bill of fare. People die from drinking whiskey, but drinking water is just as risky, and it's oftentimes a bad mistake to breathe the air. Now, the inviting green cucumber, that gets most everybody's number, while the green corn has a system of its own. Though a radish seems nutritious, its behavior is quite vicious, and a doctor will be coming to your home. Now, eating lobster cooked or plain is only flirting with ptomaine, while an oyster sometimes has a lot to say. Oh, but those clams we eat in chowder make the angels chant the louder, for they know that we'll be with them right away. Some little bug is gonna find you someday. Some little bug will creep behind you someday. Then he'll get right down in your gizzard, and if you lose him, you're a wizard. Some little bug is gonna find you someday. Now take a slice of nice fried onion, and then you're fit for Dr. Munyon, and those apple dumplings are gonna kill you quicker than a train. Chew a cheesy midnight rabbit, and a grave you'll soon inhabit. Oh, to eat it all is such a foolish game. Now eating huckleberry pie, that's a pleasing way to die, while sauerkraut brings on softening of the brain. Now when you eat banana fritters, every undertaker titters, and the casket makers nearly go insane. Oh, when cold storage vaults I visit, I can only say, what is it that makes mortals fill their systems with such stuff? Now for breakfast, prunes are dandy, if a stomach pump is handy, and your doctor can be found quite soon enough. Just eat a plate of fine pig's knuckles while the grave digger chuckles and also makes a note upon his cuff. And fried liver's nice, but mind you, friends will soon ride slow behind you, and then the papers will have such nice things to say. Some little bug is gonna find you someday. Some little bug will creep behind you someday. And then with a nervous little quiver, he'll give you cirrhosis of the liver. Some little bug is gonna find you someday. So, you want to live forever?
White bread is made from wheat flour, from which the bran and the germ have been removed through the process known as milling. Milling gives white flour a longer shelf life by removing the bran, which contains oil, allowing products made with it, like white bread, the ability to survive storage and transit times. In addition, the flour used in white bread is often bleached using potassium bromate or chlorine dioxide gas to remove any slight yellow color and make its baking properties more predictable. It does remove nutrients like some dietary fiber, iron, B vitamins, and micronutrients. The Miami Herald wrote on June 23, 2011, chemically treated produce, highly processed foods, and refined ingredients like white flour and sugar cause sickness and disease, as well as a host of minor ailments such as digestive issues and lack of energy. Wheat flour is a powder made from the grinding of wheat and is used in a wide variety of foods. According to the Food and Drug Administration's Defect Levels Handbook, the following levels of natural defects are allowed for wheat flour. Insect fragments, average 75 or more per 50 grams. Rodent filth, hair and or feces, average of 1 or more per 50 grams. The 2 cups or 450 grams of flour in the cake amounts to about 375 insect fragments or feces. The most common pesticide found in flour, 49% of all flour tested, is malathion, believed to be a possible carcinogen neurotoxin, and hormone disruptor.
Give me space
food.
Give me a few pills at my table.
Digestive food.
You
know, I had some friends, I sent them some of these clips a while back, and they said, I give up. What do I eat? Because this is frightening. And I will tell you, one of my teachers told me the best thing. He said, when you go to the grocery store, shop the outer aisles except the bakery. The inner aisles are what's in a bag, a box, and a can. So shop the outer grocery shelves, and you'll do well. Well, I tried to do that, and when I first took the class, I cried. I'm like, oh, no, milk, meat. I walked out with nothing in my hand, and my husband was in the car, and he said, why didn't you pick anything up? I said, you go shop. I can't. It's all cadavers of food. Everything in there is dead or poisoned, and I didn't know what to eat.
Uh-huh.
So there's a balance, you know, but This is frightening. Flour is in everything. I mean, what do we do? I mean, how do we find a balance?
Well, I think if you try and truly eliminate some of this, our bodies are intended to try and fight it off. Just that if you have a poor diet, then your body is getting all of this chemicals and all of these bad things. And it's, you know, screams, I can't deal with all of this. So you need to eliminate some things. You really do.
It's a choice. You know, I like to say to people, we have a choice every day. How do you choose? And a lot of us have given up that power. A lot of the coaching I do with people is to take charge of your life and decide what you want and make small incremental changes that over time change your life. It's not overnight. You don't go and sit at the top of the mountain and chant and eat rice cakes. They're not good for you anyway. because they're processed. But the thing is that you make small incremental changes.
That's what I've done in the last 10 years. Each year I made another change, and I really don't think I would be as healthy as I am right now had I continued going on with the way I was living.
But you're an exact example of what usually happens. People are faced with a challenge, and all of a sudden they decide, ooh, what is my life worth? What do I want the rest of my life to be like? And they make a choice. And that's the big thing. I hope you get it. Before you've got it, is what I say to people. That you get that you have a choice and you can make choices. You adjust your budget. It's a food budget. You adjust it. If you're buying less junk food, believe me,
that's
you can
right. Afford
more healthy foods.
That's true, because I used to buy one loaf of white bread, get two free, and with all that they put in it to make you eat more, now I buy myself just one good organic piece of bread. Maybe I have one slice a day, and it lasts me, and I'm really much healthier for it.
And you're satisfied.
Now, the other thing that we have to worry about is the way our foods are packaged.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I saw a documentary in TSL last year or a couple of years ago, and it was called The Plastic Planet. That opened up my eyes. And recently something on the doctors, they said the same thing. So you're going to hear now about food packaging that has BPAs and something called DEHP in it. So why don't we play the one on food packaging first?
On March 30th, 2011, Discovery News reported, food packaging harbors harmful chemicals. Plastic wrappers, food cans, and storage tubs deposit at least two potentially harmful chemicals into our food, confirmed a new study. The chemicals, bisphenol A, or BPA, and a phthalate called DEHP, are known to disrupt hormonal systems in the bodies of both animals and people, leading to developmental and reproductive problems as well as cancers, heart disease, and brain disorders. And both appear in a wide variety of food packaging materials. But when people in the new study avoided plastic and ate mostly fresh foods for just 3 days, the levels of these chemicals in their bodies dropped by more than 50%, and sometimes much more. BPA has been linked to all sorts of health concerns, including heart disease, cancers, and developmental problems. Research has linked the chemical to cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, sexual dysfunction, and early onset puberty. FDA officials said they are especially concerned about its developmental impact on fetuses, infants, and young children. BPA used to harden plastics leaches from containers into food and drinks, even cold ones. It's so ubiquitous that more than 90% of Americans have traces of it in their urine, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In 1973, several thousand pounds of Firemaster BP6, a fire retardant containing the chemical polybrominated biphenyl, or PBB, were accidentally mixed with livestock feed that was distributed to farms in the state of Michigan. About 1.5 million chickens, 30,000 cattle, 5,900 pigs, and 1,470 sheep then consumed this feed and became contaminated with PBBs before the error was discovered. Studies indicated that PBB had spread through the food chain. In one test of a sample of Michigan's residents, 97% of those tested had traces of PBB in fat tissue. Laboratory studies have linked PBB with weakened resistance to disease in human beings. On July 27, 1989, the Los Angeles Times reported, FDA allows genetically modified RBGH to endanger milk. FDA ignores evidence on cancer risks. These hormones, known as RBGH, are manufactured by chemical companies such as Monsanto. Apart from economic and veterinary concerns, bovine growth hormone pose grave consumer health risks that have not been investigated by the industry or FDA.
Okay, so now we just heard about the BPAs and DEHP in our plastics and the PBBs. I don't know how much else we can talk about, but I have to tell you, after I saw the Plastic Planet last year, and then one day just recently on the doctors and ABC's, the doctors, they said, you know, take your stuff out of the plastic because I said, that's it. I went through my whole kitchen, got rid of all of my plastic containers, use them for tools, and just I'm using glass.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
When I go to the butcher shop now, I don't buy the prepackaged. I go to the butcher shop, ring the bell, and ask them to wrap it in butcher paper because that historically has been the way we did it until we wanted to make it last longer, look prettier. They could gas it and make it look better. The truth is it leaches into your food. In fact, someone said to me, have you ever noticed how water bottles, when you open them, they go whoosh? Why are they pressurizing water bottles? Well, to keep the plastic from leaching into your water. And some people freeze these bottles.
No, you're not supposed to.
And it leaches more plastic, even more. And you should never reuse them. So what do you
do? I used to reuse them. I don't do that anymore. And I have the stainless steel container that I take with me. And, of course, that just helps eliminate. Because I buy some things like my hummus, it comes in plastic. But you can always take it out of it and put it in a glass container so that at least you don't have it laying in there and getting any more toxins.
I've become a fanatic about tipping containers over and see what the recyclable number on it is.
Yes, because there is a
numbers, and you know, most recycling places will take between 1 and 7. And I know there's one, I believe it's a 7 that's the safest for you. But the truth is I don't want any plastic, but if I do buy it, I want to make sure I can get it home, put whatever food I have into a glass container.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I bought a lot of them. And then I recycle the others. I just keep asking my grocer, you know, can you put stuff in glass? Can you put stuff in glass? Can you put stuff in glass? And you just have to keep
asking.
It is.
It really is a better way to do it. And I feel a lot better now that I'm taking those precautions. Once you get used to it, it's not a big deal. We got lazy. We had plastic. It's so much easier to carry. Well, but once you get used to going back to glass, it's just a habit. You have to
Like sugar and high fructose corn syrup, plastic became popular because it's less heavy to transport. Mm-hmm. So transportation costs, the cost of gas, there's a whole domino effect of everything we do, and it ripples throughout everything in the industry. And so we have to make changes that can reverse that domino effect.
Right.
And it's the choices you make. And you can't change everything overnight.
No.
Like I said, incremental.
That's right.
So buy as much as you can in that's natural and package it yourself.
All right. So now those were just some. You can always go on YouTube to see that documentary. And it is called, what is it, Today's Modern Food Documentary. So now what I'd like to do, we'd like to talk about obesity because that's our biggest health crisis, which all of the above that you just heard helps obesity. However, I'm going to play two little songs that are very cute and have to do with exercise and diet. So here we go. The first one's Winnie the Pooh, Up, Down, Touch the Ground, and Bobby
Bear,
the
When I fly home from school and I've nothing to do, I like to hang out with Winnie the Pooh. He likes to jog and jump and fall, but he says he likes junk food best of all. Junk food? Come on, Winnie, do your exercises.
Oh, yes, time for my stoutness exercise. Up, down, up. When I up, down, touch the ground, it puts me in the mood. Up, down, touch the ground, in the mood for food. I am stout round, and I have found, speaking poundage-wise, I improve my appetite when I exercise. Oh, stuff and fluff. That's better. Thank you. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. I'm rumbly in my tumbly. Time for something sweet. I am short, fat, and proud of that, and so with all my might. I up, down to my appetite's delight. While I up, down, touch the ground, I think of things to chew. Like honey and milk and chocolate. With a hefty, happy appetite, I'm a hefty, happy fool.
With a hefty, happy appetite, he's a hefty, happy fool.
Oh, bother. Empty again. Only the sticky parts left.
Breakfast, black coffee, one slice of dry toast. No butter, no jelly, no jam. Lunch, just some lettuce, two celery stalks. No booze, no potatoes, no ham. Dinner, one chicken wing, broil, not fried. No gravy, no biscuits, no pie. And it's diet and diet and diet and diet. And sure is a rough way to die. So pass me a carrot stick, peel me a prune. A glass of skim milk and that's all. Turn off the TV, that Big Mac commercial. It's driving me right up the wall. And I'm thinking of French fries, sausage and waffles, spaghetti and cookies and cake. And each night I'm dreaming of chocolate ice cream, and I'm starving to death when I wake. Supper, two pieces of cauliflower raw, some beefsteak the size of a nail. One slice of tomato, a small dab of slime. I swear I ate better in jail. Stop eating that pizza right under my nose. Girl, that's the least you can do. Put on that candy bar while I'm singing. I'm starving my buns off for you. You're fixing the kids all spring mashed potatoes, but it's bouillon water for me. Hey, you got a lock on the refrigerator. Lord knows where you're hiding the key. While I'm starving for food late at night, I'm starving for loving from you. But you say that when I can see my own wine, you'd be glad to look at it too. So pass me a carrot stick, peel me a prune, a glass of skim milk, and that's all. Jane Fonda and old Richard Simmons are driving me right up the wall. suffered and died, but don't he look good when he's thin? Oh my, he's died and died and died and died. Sure is a rough way to die.
Okay. That's a rough way to die. At least he was thin at the end. But Winnie the Pooh reminded me, I used to say that when I was younger, you know, I exercise, but I get hungry. Then you diet.
You know, the truth is a lot of people exercise and they get hungry. And part of it is because they're dehydrated from the exercise.
Ah, that brings us to drinking plenty of water.
Water. You know, to me, the healthiest way to stay healthy is drink plenty of good water. I mean, I like a filtered water because there's sediment and things in my water. So, and that could be a whole topic of conversation is good water. But many people start reducing calories and exercising and they get dehydrated. So I start every program with how much water are you drinking? And I never use the word diet because it has that word die in it.
You know, thought of that.
This is just adjusting your food diet, your food budget rather, your food intake. Diet is a word that encounters suffering. I don't want suffering. This should be fun. This should be something you do because you love yourself and because you love your family and you want to do what's best for your family. You know, everything we're talking about here, about taking responsibility, when you fly on an airplane, they say in case of an emergency, an oxygen mask will drop down. Put yours on first before you help someone else. So many of us care about our family, our community, the world, but if we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we take care of them? So this whole thing of obesity, there's so many different theories and different studies, and many people go on what we call these diets. And then 2 or 3 years later, they're fatter than ever. And there's a reason for it, because some people are losing a lot of weight. But it's not weight you want to lose. It's fat. Toxins are stored in fat. Our fat cells get bigger and bigger when they store toxins from a lot of these foods we've just talked about. And then we skimp on nutrients and calories, and we lose a lot of weight, and we're excited. I've lost so much weight. But how much muscle mass have you lost? Muscle weighs a lot more than fat. So the focus is to lose fat. I tell people, throw out the scale and start measuring. Measure all over your body, your arms, your legs, your neck, your belly, everything. And watch how you melt away when you follow good eating plan. And there's lots of ways to look at it, and we could talk about all the different ways. Again, that would be another whole show, and I'd really prefer to bring in people who are more talented than me. I'm on a journey because I had a health challenge, and I wanted to get my life back, and I studied from some wise teachers. But this whole thing of what do you eat, what don't you eat, this, I liked what he said about black coffee and a piece of toast with no butter, no jelly.
No jam.
So, you know, the truth is that bread that we're talking about, unless it's a whole
organic.
Grain, organic, full of good nutrients bread, could be your downfall. Lettuce and celery are wonderful, but the lettuce and celery we eat today may not be organic or regional and may be full of empty or unfilled with calories and nutrients. So what's our choices?
And then the diet soda? Not good. I used to drink that, not anymore.
Diet soda does not help you lose weight. It triggers a similar mechanism that causes insulin in the body and has exactly the same impact on the body as sugared sodas. And it has so many other things that can happen. There's so much that happens to artificial flavorings or artificial sweeteners when they are exposed to heat that cause all kinds of things. A lot of obesity is caused by these disruptors to your endocrine system, your hormone system, that are causing us to reach puberty at a younger age, carry more body fat. There's all kinds of things that are happening. If you look at the wheat you're eating, if you look at the milk you're drinking, and you look at the meats you're eating and adjust, you can make a huge impact on your weight. The truth is that nobody's gotten stupid in the last few years. We haven't suddenly forgotten how to eat. But through marketing and large, you know, multinational corporations that are feeding us, they don't have our best interests at heart. We have to take our best interests to heart and figure what we want to create in our lives and not just sit back and say, oh, I'm helpless. I don't know what to do. we do know what to do, and if we don't, we can always ask questions. You know, we as humans can always find a teacher. And your teacher may be different than my teacher, but find the one that resonates with you. And like I said, there's a lot of different studies on what causes obesity. It's a very complex issue. But we can all take responsibility for ourselves and make those changes. And water is pivotal, but the next one is movement.
Oh, that's me.
Exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, and my teacher said, if I can walk 10 minutes twice a day when I was first getting back into shape, I was a couch potato. I will admit that. My idea of exercise was a good brisk sit. And he said, okay, can you walk 10 minutes twice a day? Not so fast that you can't say your name, but fast enough that you can't carry on a conversation like I'm having now. That'll get your heart rate up. That'll get your body working. Commit to 10 minutes twice a day. And I have to tell you, when I do it, body weight, muscle builds up, but my fat gets leaner. So I may not be losing any weight, but all of a sudden my clothes are loose and my shoes are loose. And everything is feeling better. So I know personally and through working with many other people that water, exercise are pivotal. And what you put on your plate. You know, I like a colorful plate. I like it so that there's bright, different colors on the plate every day. You know, there's also disagreement about how much we should have on our plate, but one of the most recent ones is that we should be having 9 cups of fruits and vegetables every day. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of chewing, and that's very expensive. When you take 9 cups of fruits and vegetables and multiply it by a family. So many people are looking to some really rich, dense foods like wheatgrass and chlorella and things like that to supplement what's in their mm-hmm. diet. Good, healthy, plant-based sources of nutrients to build up what's missing in their diet.
That's true.
And that's a lot of what I do is help people find sources for that. Because the truth is, you know, by day I'm a community educator and an activist. But I also market products for people who really want to make a difference in my coaching and my work with people. And the truth is that if you don't supplement, you could have health challenges. My dream is that I'll be done out of business, that everybody will have a victory garden. Mm-hmm. Everybody will have a square foot garden to take care of themselves like we did during World War II. Everybody had a victory garden because everything was needed for other people. I would like to be a mastodon that you don't need to supplement, that everything you need is right there on your table every night. But the truth is, with our lifestyles, how busy we are.
Very difficult.
The options we have. There's a phrase called food deserts. There are food deserts where people, this is within cities, where they don't have access, either through transportation, cost, whatever. They don't have access to fresh food. So what's a person to do? The best you can. And pay attention. And
that's right. Yeah, the next time you're in line, you want to get something at McDonald's, or any fast food place that you might think of, a Burger King or whatever you want to do, maybe you could start by, instead of staying in line and getting it, having your car sitting there, park it and walk in. And walk out. I see lines of cars, people just sitting there. And you think in this day and age, they would just get themselves out. So start with that little bit of exercise by parking the car and going inside to get something. And maybe then eventually you'll even gravitate towards a different type of food instead of that.
Mm-hmm. And I do admit our lives have gotten so fast. We're traveling at the speed of light or the speed of life. Mm-hmm. And fast foods have become a solution for people. But many fresh foods are as easy to cook and eat and serve as fast foods at a much better price. Fast foods are much more expensive than eating an organic diet. Take my word for it.
Yes. And the other day I picked up like celery for $2 and it was organic and in a nearby supermarket. And then there was some carrots, the same thing. I said, by the way, they're organic. So what are there, a few pennies more than the other? That's kind of reasonable, too. I never used to buy a lot of organic, but I'm concentrating more on that now. But before we only have about 5 minutes, so I really hope that people, we started off with all these things that's wrong with our food, so that you should consider organic. Try your best, even if it's not, says you could grow your own in your apartment, and that's your organic. So would you be so kind as to maybe say how people could contact you if they're interested in life coaching or anything else, or if you have a web page, Joellen?
I do. And in fact, one of the things that I'd like to do, and I'm talking to, we met at HW Coffee, which for those of you who live in Greene County, what a gem you have there. This is not a, I don't get paid to advertise for them, but it's a wonderful space to meet wonderful people.
Yes.
And have wonderful conversations. And in fact, the young man has said, how about we have some gatherings here where we talk about these things, where we sit around, because those of you who are listening, there's wisdom in everyone. There's things that you know, and you may not be practicing because sometimes we talk about things rather than practice. So what I'd like to do is have some gatherings at HW Coffee. I'll be doing some Inquiring Minds in Saugerties. And it's just community dialogue, because the more people talk about it, some people don't know the answers, other people do. Let's bring everybody together in small groups and just begin the conversation.
And you do have an email, though, that they could email if they want to ask you some questions?
Exactly. So the best way to email me is Joellen, that's Joellen, at RJ World Group, that's RJWORLDGROUP.com, Joellen at RJWorldGroup.com. In the subject, just say, you know, wellness or food, and I'll get you some information and I'll get back to you.
All right. Well, this has been great. I'm going to end with a vegan song, an organic, about buying organic food, and then that will end the show. But don't forget to stay tuned for Nan Marin in Social Graces that will follow this show. And if you could play that, Tom, I'm so glad you joined us for this. And I'm so glad, Joellen, you came. This was a great show, and I hope it really has helped some people. So let's do it.
It starts with the soil right beneath your feet. There's no pesticides, and that's pretty neat. Just add a little water and some seeds that grow. Mix in a little sunshine and watch a nature show. Now from this fine earth comes the good things we eat, like fruits and grains and veggies, and food's quite complete. Now you're feeling kind of hungry? There's no reason to panic, because Mother Nature's got a brand. It's called organic.
That's organic. That's organic. That's organic.
Now you look at the soil, and what do you see? Tiny little critters like worms and millipedes. With their bodies and legs, they crawl all around, just mixing up the nutrients that fall to the ground. Now it's all about the creatures and plants that grow in harmony with nature and treat the earth just so. 'Cause there's nothing extra needed and you never have to panic. 'Cause Mother Nature's got a brand. It's called organic.
That's organic.